I encourage you to now turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119, and we're continuing our series through this chapter, and tonight we'll be in verses 17 to 24. So that's Psalm 119, verses 17 to 24. Hear now God's word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones, who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. This is God's word. Amen. Let's pray before we come to it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing this, your word, and we ask that you would open our eyes, Lord, by your Spirit, to behold wonderful things in it. We pray this to your glory and for our good. In Christ's name, amen. When the rubber meets the road, it's a common phrase we hear today, and it captures the image of a car tire making contact with the pavement of the road. And it's a phrase that's used to describe the moment a concept or a belief is finally put to test. The concept has come into contact with the real test, when the rubber meets the road. Tonight we enter what you could say in Psalm 119 is the first test of the psalm. The first test. To catch you up, this is an acrostic psalm of 22 stanzas, and each stanza begins with a consecutive letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and so its very form is excellent and beautiful. Its theme is the Word of God, and it's describing this theme with eight different nouns throughout the chapter that you can hear. You'd hear it translated as law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, and rules. And so what is this Word of God in summary? Well, the Word of God is the revelation of God in Scripture to His covenant people that is meant to guide them in His ways. And while the tone of the psalm so far, we've gone through the first two sections, it's been largely positive thus far, the life of the psalmist has been hidden. We haven't really heard much about the psalmist's life. But tonight we see the first when the rubber meets the road moment. Or as I'd like to title the message, when the word meets the world. When the two come in contact for the psalmist, when the word meets the world. What happens when you take the blessing of keeping God's word and put it in contact with the troubles of this world? How does the word meet the world? And we're going to see this through in the psalm in three ways. I'll give you three words just to follow along. Dependence, trouble, and delight. Dependence, trouble, and delight. That's our path forward for this evening. I do know coming in here that I have had my own worries or concerns or hardships or things going on in my world this week, and I would be naive to think I'm the only one going through things like that. And so we may be in the same world and yet have a wide variety of hardship and experience and anxieties. We've heard even the challenges and things happening all across our world. And so for these next few moments, I want to encourage you to consider this. How does God's word actually meet you in your world? How does it come into contact with you through the instruction of this psalm? And so first, the Word meets the world in verses 17 through 20 through a posture of dependence, through a posture of dependence. The psalmist models a dependence on God and on His Word. And in these verses, what we're going to see is he makes three petitions followed by one declaration. So you can follow along. Verse 17 is the first petition. He says, "Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word." This is a petition for God's favor. He is asking that God would deal graciously with him. He starts with a posture of dependence. And what's surprising, I think, maybe to our modern day eyes in reading this, is the purpose of God's favor. The purpose for having life, in the verse, is so that he might keep God's word. The aim of receiving God's favor is a life lived according to God's word. So too for us. How can the word meet us in the world? Well, I think it starts, as the psalmist instructs us, with a people who petition God according to their own dependence on him. Lord, would you deal bountifully with me, with your servant? It starts with a needy and expectant posture before God in verse 17. And this theme of dependence, it continues. And take a look at the second petition, verse 18. Psalmist says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." This is the second petition. It's a petition for illumination. And we talked a little, or we heard a little bit about this morning from Pastor Josh Moody in the service this morning. All of us are born with the spiritual inability to behold wondrous things of God. We are, in a sense, born blind. And it is only by the Spirit of God working through and alongside this, the humble petition of the servant of God, that our eyes can be opened to behold wondrous, amazing, excellent things in God's Word. Without dependence on the Spirit, we are blind and unable to see God's instruction for us in His Word. A petition for favor. And then follows a petition for illumination. And yet simply seeing is not enough. The psalmist goes on. It must lead the servant of God somewhere. So take a look at verse 19. We see a petition for direction. He says, "I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me." This word sojourner or stranger means an individual who's not native to the land in which they reside. This is someone who is away from home. And it is the language that is used to describe God's people in the Old Testament when they're enslaved in Egypt, away from home. It's one who has no legal status, no protection, no rights. And God has instructed in the Old Testament Israel to care for these people. And yet, in the irony of God's wisdom, at the same time, the same word is used to describe God's people. The people of God are strangers in the world. We are sojourners, citizens of another country, pilgrims on the path home. Sometimes we'll sing the song, I think, here at church on Sunday morning or with our high school ministry by City of Light, if you've heard of that group, called "Christ is Mine Forevermore." And it gets at this theme. The words say, "Mine are days here as a stranger, pilgrim on a narrow way." And did you notice the petition the psalmist has as a sojourner? What did you see what he says right after that? It's not for safety as a sojourner. It's not for wealth. It's not for a comfortable home, but for the commandments of God to be his clear guide for life today. What a surprising petition. and an instructive petition for us. God, would you not hide your commandments from me, a stranger in this world? The three petitions. And in closing, the last, in verse 20, we see in this longing for a true home, the psalmist follows the petitions with what I like to call is a declaration of dependence. When I was a kid, I used to listen to Stephen Curtis Chapman on my CD player, and he had this song. Do you all know Stephen Curtis Chapman? Great, wonderful. Thank you. Sometimes you think you're just talking to yourself up here. He had this song, The Declaration of Dependence. I thought, wow, I'd like that, to declare my dependence. And verse 20, in a sense, is the psalmist's declaration of dependence. He says, my soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. How does the word meet the world? It's through a posture of dependence. We're seeing it through these three petitions, through this one declaration. I imagine if somebody came up to you today or came up to me and they said these words, you are a very dependent person. It would not be something you would receive positively. You would not probably reply, well, thank you very much for that word, brother or sister. It's not a positive word in our world today. To be dependent is to be seen as weak. It's to stand in a position of needing support. And so when we file our taxes, we're asked, are you claiming any dependence? And we can claim someone if they are truly reliant on our support, if they're in a sense like a child. Now, God doesn't file taxes, but if he did, we would all be claimed as his dependents. We're all his children in need of him. We don't get to a certain age or income bracket on our own where we graduate from a life of dependence on God. He claims us as dependents for all time. And that is why when we read these words of the psalmist, these beautiful words, we see that the self-sufficient cannot speak these words. The independent will not be caught on their knees praying these words. The autonomous will not see the profitability of taking the time to pray these words personally back to God. And so as I think about how we might be entering into this room tonight and our world and maybe feeling vulnerable or in need of support, be encouraged that the prerequisite for this and for these words tonight is those who actually understand their need of God. That's what qualifies you to be ready to say these words back to God. When we hear words like law and commandments and rules today, we might bristle a little bit at them. We live in a culture that is skeptical of authority, sometimes for good reason. But we can be instructed by the psalmist here when he considers God, who is perfectly trustworthy and good and sovereign and all-powerful. And the psalmist longs for his rules, longs for his instruction, his guidance. He longs for it all the time. It makes me think of when I was in college, I had a professor that I was enamored by his teaching. And every class that I could take with that professor, I was going to sign up for. I longed for more teaching, for more understanding, to not in an idolatrous way, but to be in the presence of this professor again and to learn more and hear more. And I wonder if we need to ask tonight, is that our posture towards God? And his ways? Do we live dependent under the one who has claimed us? Do we wake up knowing our need for God's favor? Do we open the Bible knowing our need for illumination before we start trying to get something out of it? Do we start our day knowing our need for direction? Do we long for His word? And if we don't, and we wonder, where is God coming into contact with my world, my life? Might it be that our posture of independence is inhibiting the word of God from meeting us in our world? The word meets our world when we start with a posture of dependence. That's what we're learning from the example of the psalmist. But what does our world look like? And there's a shift that happens in verse 21. It's almost as if the psalmist is praying. He's on his knees. He's in his home. And he takes a moment and he opens one of his eyes and he begins to turn his head towards the window where he can see all the trouble that's out there. Because these first four verses sound beautiful petitions, but a little bit disconnected from reality. Verse 21, it's like reality begins to seep into his prayers. So verses 17 to 20 were dependence. Verses 21 to 23 is trouble. The word meets our world in the midst of trouble. And we learn in verse 21, take a look, that not everyone around the psalmist is longing for the rules of God. It's just not the case. There are some who are wandering from God's commandments. This concept to wander conveys the idea of intoxication or confusion. These are those who have decided to discard the identity of being a sojourner. They've made their home with the world. And so what happens to those who wander away from God's commandments? They are met with the word of God, but it is not a word of blessing. It's not a word of favor, but it's a word of rebuke in verse 21. Think of Deuteronomy 27:26, where Moses says, "Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them." Here we see in verse 21, the insolent or the proud are the cursed ones. They are not dependent on God and His word. They showcase their pride by traveling their own way. Many of us do not enjoy asking for help with directions. And studies show, I looked this up earlier today, that men struggle with this to a greater degree than women. Make of that what you want. 1 in 4 men will wait at least half an hour to ask for directional help. Yeah, only. But just think, that means they're wandering around for half an hour. Really in need of help, but not willing to ask for it. And 12%, the studies show, will refuse to ask for help altogether. I'm not going to do it. I'd rather be lost than have to ask for help. We laugh, but I'm like, isn't that our hearts? That is my heart. Even on the practical direction, like asking for directions, that is my heart. But that's our sinful nature of wanting to wander from God's word. And I think it's the result of believing the lie, the first lie in the garden. Because isn't it not the same lie that the serpent told over and over again that continues to just question the truth of God and His word in our world today? It's the lie of, did He really say that? Are you sure? Do we really need to rely on what God says? Don't you know what's best for you? The danger of wandering is alive and well. And we still hear these lies and taunts today. And so again, it's as if the psalmist on his knees, he's praying, his window's open, and not only can he see some of the trouble, but he's hearing some of the reproach, some of the taunts, and the scorn coming through the window, and he pleads to God to take away this scorn and contempt in verse 22. Why does he plead for this? The psalmist grounds God to bless him on the basis of his own keeping of God's testimonies, his obedience. This is a call back. If you look back to Psalm 119, verse 2, the beginning of the psalm, it tells us that there is an expectation of blessing that is given to those who keep God's testimonies. And so on that basis, he petitions again to God in the midst of the trouble of the world. And it's as if he's still glancing at the window, and now he begins to see that there are actually people sitting outside his house who are plotting. They're whispering. Verse 23, he refers to princes sitting and plotting against him. These are either leaders inside or outside the people of God plotting against him. And what does he do in this moment? He stops praying and he attacks. No. What does he do? Verse 23, he commits to meditating on God's statutes. You see, the psalmist's world is not too different from our world. He lives surrounded by trouble. But first see this, the context of his world, it makes the content of his prayers in 17 to 20 all the more beautiful. In times of trouble, he has been dependently seeking God and his way for life. And so, College Church, we are sojourners. Remember that. We are strangers in the world. It's not meant to feel like home yet. We can sometimes be so confused by the comforts of the world and intoxicated by the lies of sin. But we can't mistake any affluence we might have for lack of need before God. We can't mistake any success we might have as a reason not to seek God on our knees. We can't mistake any control we seem to have over our future or our life, where things are going, as reason to disregard our need for God's direction. We can be prone to wander. And so what does the psalmist teach us here? The word meets our world amid the trouble. How? Well, it is what we cling to. It's what we meditate on in times of trouble. We fill our minds with God's truth. We never graduate from our need for God's word, especially in trouble. And so we've seen the psalmist's dependence. We've seen it in the midst of the context of trouble. But the ending is a great ending here. Dependence, trouble, it's delight. Verse 24, the word meets us in the world, bringing delight. It reads, follow along with me, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. And so think about where we've moved. Verse 17 began with a request for favor. Deal abundantly with me. Verse 24 now ends with a declaration of delight. Just think what these verses could have said. Your testimonies are my comfort in trouble. Your testimonies help me to persevere. Your testimonies or your will, it is my hope. And while all of that might be true in some sense, the psalmist chooses to say, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. And so here is the last piece, if you will, to the full message of the psalmist tonight. This is what he's saying. Dependence on God's word in the trouble of the world yields delight. Not just perseverance, or not just, I can keep going one more day. No, it yields delight. The trouble cannot overcome that. Delight is possible for you, for me, right now. And so ultimately, where is that delight to be found for you? Where does the rubber meet the road from God's word and your world? Where does it move from something true as a theory or in concept, or I assent to what you're saying, Pastor, but where does it actually hit me personally, truth on my level? Where does the word of God meet us in our world? At one level, the Old Testament scriptures and law was the answer for the psalmist, and it's the answer for us. but our eyes are opened to fully see God's word in the Old Testament and the law when we see it fulfilled in the person and work and instruction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He came down to our level into the world as a sojourner, providing not only the way and the power through this world, but also a way for his delight, his joy, to be fulfilled in us as we sojourn. And I want you to hear these words. Listen to these words in John 17. Psalm 119, the psalmist is praying. John 17, Jesus is praying. The high priestly prayer. Listen for some of these similarities between the two. Jesus says, "These things I speak into the world, that they," meaning my disciples, "may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." He's talking to the Father. He says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." The joy of Jesus is fulfilled in his followers. And in his prayer, he describes his followers as protected sojourners in the world, who are equipped with God's sanctifying word as a guide. And so we get to depend on Jesus, his saving work and his sanctifying instruction. As we live in trouble, we cling to these truths. We keep his word, and in doing so, we can experience delight. It is a delightful dependence. Dependence on God's word in the trouble of the world yields delight. That's it. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. And so as I close, I wonder if you, like me this week, might be thinking, how can I become more like this psalmist? I want to long to thirst for God's word in the same way he does. God's instruction. I want to be consumed by it. Like, read verse 20 again, like he does. "My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times." How do I become more like that? It feels so far out of reach, maybe. The loftiness. Well, to that, consider not how out of reach his example might feel, but instead how within reach and how near our Savior came to us. The Word of God became flesh, took on human flesh, and dwelt among us. We say, praise God. Our longing to be led by God's Word can only grow the more we look at Jesus, the one who came down as the Word of God to meet us in our world. And so that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the Word meets our world. Dependence on him in the trouble of the world yields delight. And it is a delightful dependence, friends. So may we commit to that together. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We long for your instruction. We long for you to guide us as sojourners and strangers in this world. Father, we know our hearts and we know the ways that we are tempted to wander. Would you keep us from wandering as we cling to your word? Lord, I pray that you would grant delight, not just perseverance, not just future hope, but present delight in your truth, in your word for us tonight. We thank you that you sent your Son to to come and break into this broken world, to ultimately save us, but also to instruct us through it and accompany us. So God, would you help your people as we sojourn through to do so in a way that brings you great glory? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.